RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the salubrious and the scrumptious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know that you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. You're listening to Code Delicious on Radio MD. I am Dr. Mike, and now I'd like to pick up on the second part of our discussion, our diagnosis on food quality. And if you missed the first part, just pop on over to RadioMD.com, and you can get that podcast, listen to it, and catch right up. But I'm going to pick up now talking about food quality over the last decade. Because that variable, when we look at food value, that variable of quality has become more complicated over the last decade. You know, only recently have we begun to appreciate that a direct remnant of prehistoric times plays a critical role in mediating us between health and wellness or disability and disease. And that's the human gut microbiome. It's that collection of an estimated 100 trillion cells that inhabit our innards compared to only about 10 trillion human cells that make up our body, outnumbering us approximately 10 to 1. Now, this personal cadre of minions derives in part from genetics, partly determined by our genetics at birth, but in a large part, they are determined from our environment. And let me tell you, there's no bigger environmental impact upon both ourselves and our minions than what we choose to consume each day. You know, in fact, anything we choose to consume actually first interacts with the gut microbiome before it ever even reaches our own biome. Therefore, what we choose to eat has a tremendous impact on the character of our gut microbiota. You know, according to some studies, in just as little as a day, just as little as 24 hours, we can significantly alter the bacterial composition of our alimentary associates. And we can do that for better or for worse. Ultimately, we are in charge of the condition of our own internal garden. Now, consumption of the processed, preserved, prepackaged, and prepared offerings that constitute the bulk of the modern Western diet are associated with the development of an infertile and at times infernal internal landscape. It becomes a seething cesspool capable of yielding only the slow poison of chronic, continuous inflammation, and that one is readily apparent in the malevolently odoriferous greeting found in any airport bathroom. Many of these modern food products and additives like artificial sweeteners and emulsifiers, to name but a few, were initially felt to be totally inert with respect to our metabolic pathways following ingestion. And many of these were not subject to rigorous scientific testing, but were released as a food additive under the acronym known as GRAS, which is generally recognized as safe. And while it may be true that they do not directly interact with us, research has now shown that they can have a significant and detrimental effect upon our gut microbiome. The end result is a disturbance in our symbiotic organ that is co-evolved to co-metabolize food with us and maintain the homeostatic point of health and wellness. So therefore, in our original definition of food value, where we define the value of some food X as dependent upon both the quantity and the quality, we now see that food quality itself must be further defined. Our original equation, the value of food X equals the number or the quantity plus the quality of that food, now becomes a little bit more precise. There is an aspect of quality that can be objectively quantified as it relates to the food as fuel nutritional approach. This is the objective nutritional quality of food X. This objective nutritional quality of food X with respect to its direct impact on humans, we can determine that to some extent, you know, these are the guidelines regarding the intake of proteins, the amount of carbohydrates, fats. They're the RDAs for vitamins, minerals, trace elements, and the like. But you know, this measure of objective nutritional quality must also now, by extension, be applied to the human gut microbiome. And in this arena, we have very, very little insight into the needs of the symbiotic organism when compared to ourselves. Heck, by some estimates, 80% of the gut microbiota, we still don't even know what it is. And we're just talking about bacteria. We haven't begun to explore the role of potential viruses, yeasts, and other single-celled organisms that habitate within us. And if we even solved all that, it's not even clear that there is a singular human gut microbiome. Or, as is more likely the case, that each individual's baseline healthy gut microbiota is as unique as that person's set of fingerprints. So our objective measure of nutritional quality is comprised of one variable in which we have some understanding, and one which is essentially a complete unknown. So to recap to this point, the value of some food X can be expressed as the quantity and the objective measure of nutritional quality, both in terms of the known human nutritional values and in terms of the nutritional status of the gut microbiome, which is an unknown variable. But there is one more critical aspect to quality that we must briefly touch upon, and it's the one we first discussed when we entered into a discussion on this topic. That is the completely subjective variable of the food experience. This is to Tony Bourdain's point. It's the pleasure principle. In conjunction with an avoidance of suffering, it is the pleasure principle that drives our behavior. And between the two, the pleasure principle fuels our long game. Our life can be characterized as a series of experiences, the collection of which, some would argue, is all we get to take with us at the end of days. That our lives become one long recorded memory. And of all our senses, only taste and smell are directly plugged into the base of our brain. We may eat first with our eyes, but smell and taste take the express right into our hippocampus. That is the area of the brain where memory dwells. This is why, as you walk down the street and catch a whiff of some long-forgotten perfume you remember, a high school sweetheart, a date, a dance, and maybe a mullet you had long since thought buried away, never to be recollected. And yet there it is, playing out in a fast-forward in your mind's eye. Now, never mind the anonymous trigger, because the memory lives. The moment is ever alive in that complex reality that exists between the observer and the observed, the taster and the tasted. This is why the food experience, wrapped in the DNA of the social experiment called civilization, is so very, very powerful. This subjective quality of food is perhaps the most powerful of all the variables in our definition of food value. This subjective quality is what elevates the value of food to the food experience and thus transforms the human experience. It is why food, and particularly food of love, crafted with love, with emotion, with feeling, authentic, wholesome, and real, is an integral part of those memories we call life. So forget the supersizing, that's not value. Life's memories are not sold by the pound, they are graded by the experience. Strive to make your meals like your life, wholesome, natural, authentic, and satisfying. If you follow the proper form, healthful function will follow. You're listening to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike on Radio MD.